What I am going to speak about today has to do with the Seder of Yisro and also has to do a little bit with Tu B'Shvat. And it also is not finished, which means that I am going to be continuing preparing this while I speak to you. So bear with me. Start with a question that has more to do with Tu B'Shvat than the Sedra, but we'll see that it has a tremendous connection. The reason that we, in quotation marks, celebrate Tu B'Shvat, which is the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos, the new year of the trees, the truth is there are four new years in the year. There's the one that specifically refers to us when we're judged as Tishrei, so we understand why we celebrate that. Then there is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos, which means Rosh Hashanah basically for fruit of the trees, that the cutoff point for Trumos and Maestros and Orla and other halachas that have to do with agriculture, for fruit of the tree, Tu B'Shvat is their beginning of the year. You don't take off Truma and Maeser from one year on another, so you have to know what fruit is considered from the past year, what's considered from the coming year, and the cutoff point is Tu B'Shvat. The same thing is, according to one opinion at least, Rosh Chodesh Elul is the cutoff point for animals. You have to take off a tenth of your animals, and you don't take off from one year on the other. So the cutoff point, when animals born after this time are for the coming year, animals born before that time are from the past year, and you have to take off Maeser for each one. We don't celebrate, even according to that opinion, the first of Elul as Rosh Hashanah LeBehemos, whatever. And Rosh Hashanah of Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is Rosh Hashanah LeRegalim. It's the Rosh Hashanah for Yomim Tovim. We don't celebrate that either as a special day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, except that it's Rosh Chodesh. So why this one? So they say, because there is a connection between trees and people. And therefore, because people and trees have a connection, so the Rosh Hashanah for trees, fruit trees, has a special connection to human beings also. Okay, on the other hand, we are not like animals, so we don't celebrate the animals Rosh Hashanah. We shouldn't be like animals. Maybe some people should celebrate that, but in any case. Where is this connection between people and trees? So the sentence they quote is the following, and it's really a Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara says, v'chi ha'adam eitz hasadeh. It says, is a person like a tree. Okay, person's like a tree. That's what it seems to say. And the Gemara learns from that that a Talmud Chacham, who's like a tree who bears fruit, if he is a good Talmud Chacham, then preserve him. And if not, cut him down. So, what's the real context of that sentence? V'chi ha'adam eitz hasadeh. Torah says like this. I'm sorry, I didn't bring a Chumash Devarim, but I'll tell it to you in context, not word for word. Torah says like this. When you come to make a war against an enemy state, so first you call to them for peace. If they want to make peace, not make war, then if they accept to be vassals of the Jewish people and keep the seven mitzvahs of Noah, then we make peace with them, and they become a vassal of Klal Yisrael. If they decide they don't want to make peace, they want to fight, then you fight with them. You don't kill women and children, and you fight with them until you bring them under submission. The Torah then says, in doing this battle, don't cut down fruit trees to make a siege. You're going to make a siege against these people, right? That's part of the battle. Don't cut down fruit trees, okay? Only trees that you know that don't bear fruit, those trees you could cut down, but not fruit trees. And from here we learn the prohibition of losash baltashchis, of wanton destruction, not destroying things that are not necessary to destroy. Now, in that context, the Torah says the following: v'chi ha'adam eitz hasadeh asher yavo lefanecha b'matzar, meaning, don't cut down fruit trees. Are the trees then people that are coming to fight against you? What do you have against the trees? You're fighting against people, not against trees. Are the trees then people who are coming against you in battle? So leave the trees alone. Don't destroy the fruit trees. That is the context of the sentence. Therefore, it says just the opposite of what we're trying to learn from it. We're trying to use that sentence as a basis that people and trees are connected. People are like trees. Trees are like people, something like that. But the sentence says just the opposite. Are trees then people? So that means that trees and people are not compared. Trees are not people. Right? So it's from that sentence, it would seem just the opposite. Not to compare trees to people, but to tell me that trees and people have no connection to each other. So how in the world could the Gemara use that sentence as a basis for a drasha about Talmidei Chachamim were compared to trees who bear fruit, and if they do bear fruit, then don't cut them down. If they don't bear fruit, then cut them down. The pasuk in its context is telling me the opposite message, that trees and people have no connection. So let me tell you what I think. Okay, but it's going to take us on a long journey, which I hope will be finished by the time I'm supposed to finish this class. Let me first tell you something else the Gemara says. The Gemara says that Atem Kruyim Adam, Veloha Akum Kruyim Adam. You are called Adam, but the nations of the world are not called Adam. Okay. Now that was something that in many debates that we were forced to have with Goyim, they picked up on, you don't consider us human beings, we're not people, only you are people. Tosfos, however, says that that's only Adam. Adam only applies to Jews. But Ha-Adam, with a hey, Ha-Adam, applies even to Goyim. Where it says Ha-Adam, Goyim are also human beings. Ha-Adam. Now, if you think about it, right, it should be just the opposite. Ha-Adam, with the hey, Hayadiyah, the human being, now that's Jews, special human beings. And Adam, plain Adam, Stam, that should apply to all human beings. It's just the opposite. Adam, Stam, applies to Jews. Ha-Adam, with the hey, that applies to Goyim too. That doesn't seem to make sense. So one possible answer to that is the following. Okay, Tzlach says that the word Adam has two meanings. Adam can be min ha-adama. Man is called Adam because he comes from the earth. But Adam can also mean Adameh. I will be like, I will emulate. That man can emulate God. Goyim have only one of those meanings. Ha-Adam, from the earth. They're created from the earth. But Jews have both meanings. They're Stam Adam with both meanings. They are from the earth, but they also can emulate God. They're also Adameh Lokim. Okay, so that's one possible explanation. Okay, so again, these are explanations of my explanations. Okay, when I tell you, well, we'll see somebody. Well, somebody else says, "What? This is one possible explanation. Second explanation of why Ha Adam is Goyim." And if you look in the Torah when it speaks about the creation of man, it says the following. Follow me carefully because it's a little not complicated, just a little involved. Torah says like this. Vayomer Elohim, God said, Naase Adam, and according to Rashi, he's talking to the angels, let us make man. Naase Adam, bitzalmenu kidmusenu, in our image and in our likeness. Two things, bitzalmenu and kidmusenu. One second, we'll discuss what they are. The yirdu bitgas hayam v'shamayim v'behem v'chol ha'oretz v'chol ha'remes, and he will rule over the entire world. Then the Torah says, Vayivra Elohim es ha'adam. God created ha'adam. Bitzalmo, in his image, Bitzalem Elohim baroso, in the image of God he created him. Zachro nekeva baroso, and he created the male and female. What's the difference between these two sentences? The first sentence refers to man as Adam without a hey. Nase Adam. It also says that he's going to be in God's image and likeness. Bitzalmenu kidmusenu. And it also says, Naase, let us make man. Okay, three differences. Naase as opposed to Vayivra, creation, as opposed to Nasa, let's make. Adam, as opposed to Ha-Adam. And here it says likeness and image. And here it just says image, not likeness. Just Tselem, not the moose. Okay. The way I understand these two psukim is the following. First of all, let's discuss what Tselem and the moose is. Tselem Elohim, according to many commentaries, there are many commentaries, but according to some, the Tselem Elohim means, God's image means we have free will. In that way, we're like God, and no other creation is like God. No other creation as well has free will. Animals don't have free will. Angels don't have free will. Human beings have free will. Okay? We have free choice. And in that way, we're like God, because God is free will. God can do what he wants. And we also were given free choice. We can make decisions. We are not programmed, right, wired one way or the other. Angels are, animals are. An animal, an angel that follows its instinct, its what its essence is, and doesn't have too much of a choice. That's what it is. That's why a behema is called a behema. Boma, whatever it is, can't change. It doesn't change itself. It's instinctive. Human beings are Adam. Adam is ma. What? You always have to ask why, because he's constantly changing. He can change. He can choose. He can choose good. He can choose bad. He can be good. He can be bad. He has a free choice. And that way he's like God. That's Tselem Elohim. Demus means the likeness of God. Demus means that we can emulate God. We can be like him. How so? Mostly through midos tovos. By emulating God's midos. He's merciful, we're merciful. He's gracious, we're gracious, and so on. In fact, the word demus is the same letters as midos. Just switched around. So, according to that, I think the Pasuk says the following. Vayomer Elohim, God said, Na'aseh, the word Na'aseh, Asiya, means completion, perfection, right? A finished product. That's called Asiya. Asiya means tikkun. You bring something to its finished, polished stage, okay? So God says, Na'aseh Adam, let us create a being who the finished product, the polished product will be Adam, okay, Adam, a creature that will be called Adam, who will be B'Tzalmeinu, he'll have free choice, but he'll use that free choice to be like me, to emulate my midos, be Kidmuseinu. And that creature will be the ruler of the world. He'll rule the world. All the animals and everything will be under his dominion because he'll bring the whole world to be close to me. He will raise the whole world to be united under me, to do my will. So he will be the ruler of the world. That's Adam. Now, when God actually created this creature, he didn't create him complete. He didn't create him finished. That would have been to destroy the whole, against the whole purpose. The whole purpose was to give him free choice, that he should be able to reach that shleimus, that perfection, on his own. So Vayivra Elohim, when God created in the potential state, Es Ha-Adam, the human being who was there. In other words, Ha-Adam is man in his potential state. You can point at him. He's there. He hasn't reached the ideal finishing, that's up to him. You can point to him, Ha-Adam, right, when he's in his potential state. But it's when he's in his finished state, that's not something that's along the way, that's the future. Na'aseh Adam, right, man who represents the perfection of humankind. That's Adam. Ha-Adam is man before he reaches that perfection, where at any stage that you can point to him and say, he's Ha-Adam. And God created him in his potential state, and he only created him, B'Tzalmo, in his image, meaning he has free choice, but he didn't create him to be emulate him, to be an emulation of God. That man has to do on his own. That's the ultimate goal, but that's not the way he was created. He was created to be Ha'adam, who was only in the image of God, but not the likeness of God. He only was free choice, but not yet where he exercised that free choice and mamish made himself godlike. That seems to me from these two psukim very, and then later on the Torah says, so when we talk about ha-adam, we're talking about man before he perfects himself and becomes a copy of God and an emulation of God. We're talking about man who has free choice, who is created just like the animals out of the earth, except the animals don't have free choice and he has free choice. So he's ha-adam, right, from the Adama, right? In fact, the word ha-adam is Adama. It's from earth, but he's special because he has free choice. Okay. Then it says later on, it says, Vayitzar goes and reviews the creation of the world. So it says, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Ha'adam. God formed Ha'adam, offer minu Adama, from the earth, which is, that means the potential man who's the physical human being, Ha'adam, from the earth, and then Vayipach Biaf of Nishmas Chaim, he blew into his nostrils a neshama. That means Ha'adam is man without the neshama. It's man and his, on his first basic level that he's a human being and he has free choice. He's not an angel, he's not an animal. In the first case, God says, let us make man, talking to the angels. This is not so, we're going to make this. This is going to be more than the angels, because he's going to have the ability to, what's it called, mamish, be like me, and do it with free choice. This one, God, man is not like the animals. He was created just like the animals. He's not like the animals, because he has free choice. Here, God is creating the man from the earth. That's his partner. There he's creating man together with the angels. One is talking about man's spiritual side. The other one's talking about man's physical side. In his physical side, he's same as animals, but different that he has free choice. In his spiritual side, he's the same as the angels, except he has free choice. So one is called Adam. That is the perfection of humankind, Adam. And the other one is called Ha-Adam, the man, wherever he is, at any point where he hasn't reached that finishing, polishing, where he's only in his potential state and reaching towards that. Okay. Now, if you listen to the Ramchal in Derech Hashem, let me read you what he speaks about this idea of the perfection of man. He says that man has the ability to make, God wanted man to create his own perfection and not to be given perfection. And that's the Olam Haba is perfection. And he says, what's it called? The man has ability to be more perfect or less perfect, and he was put in the world where he can choose to be more perfect or less perfect. He says the shleimus is being like God. Right? And the more man is like God, the more he can have an attachment to God. The attachment to God is what the world to come is, having a connection to God. The more close the connection, the more pleasure. The less close the connection, the less pleasure. Now, how does a person connect himself and attach himself to God? So the Torah says, the halachta b'drachav, walk in his ways, and in that way, the davakavo, you can cleave to God by being like him. So the Ramchal says, the more a person becomes shalem, the more perfect he is, the more like God he is. The more like God he is, the more he can connect and attach himself to God. The less like God he is, the less he can attach to God. Right? So therefore, the whole purpose of this world is to seek perfection. Right? Now what is perfection, he says? And he says, and then when man reaches that perfection, he becomes attached to God like a branch to the root. That's the euphemism he uses, the allegory. Man becomes like a branch who's connected to the root, who's God. God is the root. The branch is never going to be 100% like the root, but it's connected to the root. That is the shleimus that man can have, right? And how does he reach that shleimus? right? He says, the more that he reaches perfection, how is that perfection? He says, Shleimus is reached by Midos and Sichlios. Let's try to find where it is. Ah, here it is. Shenimsu, everything in the world, right? The Hinei HaAskola, the Chol HaMidos Tovos, the knowledge of God and Midos Tovos, being like God, Heminyon Nishlemus, that is the perfection of man, right? The Inyon HaChomer and materialism and bad Midos and Midos roles, those are the things that make you not like God. How do you become like God? By perfecting your midos and understanding the will of God, which is like learning Torah or whatever, learning Torah and having midos, tovos, and all the mitzvahs have that purpose. The mitzvahs either give you ideas about God or help to make your personality better. That's the purpose of Torah and mitzvahs. Torah is the knowledge of God. Mitzvahs are what helps to bring you to midos, tovos. Okay. And when you do that, then you are like a branch connected to the root, which is God. Okay. Now, that's the case. There's another connection between trees and people. The Maharal says, we physically look like a tree. We have branches, feet, and arms, and we have a root, which is our head. And that's why the root hairs, right, are on the head. Okay? So, remember, it's like a tree. There's only one big problem. We're upside down. So, really, if you look at man as a physical being, he doesn't have a connection to a tree because he's standing on his limbs and his root is up. The tree is just the opposite. When is man like a tree? When, like the Ramchal says, he's connected as the branches to the root, but the root is God. So that means if you look at your root, you're a spiritual being who happens to be in a physical world. But your root, which is your mind, which produces your knowledge of God and your midos tovos, because your mind goes over your body, and your legs and your arms, which are the material part of a person, are just the limbs, then where are you rooted? You're rooted in the heavens. Then you're like a tree. Except you're a tree who's growing from the heavens. The tree grows from its root and its limbs grow out. But if you're a physical being and you're not connected to God, you're less connected, then you don't look like a tree. So it's only the spiritual being who basically is rooted in the heavens and, like we said, is the person who's, he has free choice, and he also has the midos of Hashem. That's the more angelic part of a person. Then he looks like a tree. Except he's a tree who's growing from above. But if his root is not in the heavens, his root is in this physical world, then he doesn't look like a tree because he's standing on his limbs. The limbs are what's down and the root is up. That doesn't look like a tree at all. Okay. Now, next point. Let's leave this for a second and go on to something else, and we'll come back and put them all together. The Ramchal says that who is going to be this Adam? The way God intended Adam HaRishon to be this Adam, but he sinned. And he disassociated himself with God to a certain degree. He wanted to be on his own. He wanted to go into business for himself, right? He wanted to be God himself. That was the chait of Adam HaRishon, eating from the Eitz Hadas. You'll be like God. So he didn't want to be totally subjugated to God. He wanted to be in competition, basically. So to a certain degree, he didn't reach that level of Adam. Okay. So God left it up until Dor HaFloga, until he separated the world into 70 nations, for someone to come and to become that Adam. And he would then be the root of a nation that the branches of that nation, all the branches, would be part of that tree called Adam. What man was supposed to be. And anybody could do it. There could have been a lot of trees that were Adam. Right? And they would have all their branches. Only one human being did it by that time. Avraham Avinu. Adam HaGadol Ba'anakim. He was also called the great giant Adam. Right? Avraham Avinu took the place of Adam, of the original Adam. He was the perfection. He had within him the potential for that total perfection. He totally subjugated himself to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He became like that tree where the root is rooted in the heavens, connected to God, and the branches grow down. And Adam and Avraham Avinu had a Yitzchak and a Yaakov, and they were part of this tree. Other branches were cut off, Esav and Yishmael. And finally, 600,000 Jews who went out of Egypt, they were the tree, and everybody else is just part of the fruit of that tree, all of us. That was that tree. At that point, God separated the world into other nations. The other nations were not this kind of tree. They didn't have that connection to God. They could have a connection to God by having connection to Avraham Avinu and his children, but no direct connection anymore. They have a neshama. They are human beings. They're not animals, but they're not the angelic human beings. They're the human beings who are from the Adama. They have mitzvahs. They have seven mitzvahs. They have free choice. They can do things that will bring them benefit in this world, even to a certain degree in the next world, as much as they attach themselves to the Jewish people and to the goal of the world or whatever, and don't resist it. As much as not. And then God gave a special favor, a sale. Okay? At this point, nobody else could resume or assume the role of Adam. Only Avraham Avinu did it. Anybody could have done it. Nobody did it except for Avraham. God gave a special one-time sale before the Torah was given to give the nations of the world another chance. If you want to accept the Torah, then you also will be able to be another tree, which will go on with whatever, to be that kind of Adam. And the nations of the world refused it. Why did they refuse it? So it says, he went to Esav and he said, do you want the Torah? And they said, what does it say in it? God said, it says you can't murder. They said, well, we have a problem with that because Esav, the whole essence of our ancestor Esav was Yadai Midei Esav, murder, right? He was a hunter, right? And we've got a blessing, we live by the sword. So we can't have a Torah that goes against our nature. He went to Yishmael, and Yishmael said, what does it say in the Torah? He says, you can't steal. He says, well, we have a Torah that says, Yadav HaKol V'Yadav Bo, our hands in everybody's pocket, their hands in ours. It goes against our essence. And he went to Ammon and Moab, and they said, what does it say? It says, you can't be promiscuous. Well, Sina. They said, well, our essence comes from a union between Lot and his daughters. So it goes against our essence. Promiscuity is in our blood. Can't have the Torah. What do those three sins represent? Right, they are the major sins of Gilei Arayos, Shfichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. When murder, stealing, it says, is to a certain degree like Avodah Zarah, because you make money into your God. But in any case, there are the three cardinal midos roles that lead to all sins. Kina, that's stealing. Taiva is promiscuity. And Kovid, people kill each other because of Kovid. Right, you bother me, right, and I can't exist with you in the world. So most of murder is because of COVID, right? There's honor killings or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And most of stealing is because of jealousy, and most of promiscuity is because of taiva. Those are the three cardinal midos roles. What the Goyim were saying is, we don't have those midos that can be like God, and we're not interested in getting them. We don't want to subjugate ourselves to God and change our nature. We just want to remain the way we are. So, well, use our free choice and for the better or for the worse, but we're not interested in being subjugated and rooted in the heavens. We're rooted down in this world. So they gave up that choice. Okay. Now, if that's the case, so we got the Torah, okay, and what's it called? We are therefore Adam. We are that first kind of Adam. That's what it says. The Atem Tiyuli, Skula Mikol Ha'amim, Kili Kol Ha'aretz. All human beings I created, but you're the Skula. You're the treasure. You're the special. You're the Adam amongst the Ha-Adam, right? You're the Adam as opposed to the Goyim who are Ha-Adam, okay? And therefore, you're a Skula, meaning that every Jew has a potential that no non-Jew has. We can attach ourselves totally and be totally emulate God. They don't have that power. They lost that power. They can get that through us, by helping us, aiding us in this world or whatever, and for that way they'll get some kind of Olam Haba too. And they have a neshama, and they have free choice, and they're not animals. But they're not the angelic human beings that we are because of the skula of Avraham Avinu. And because of that skula, we can develop it. And we become a mamleches kohanim, the goy kadosh, a empire of kohanim and a holy nation, which means the following, according to various opinions. Mamleches kohanim is we have two things. We are melachim. We are all kings because the purpose of, what's it called, of this human being who is the emulation of God is the ruler of the world. That's what it said. He will rule over the entire world. So we are the kings of the world. We're the rulers in that respect. The world was created for us because we are God's emissaries. So we're melachim, even more than that. The other nations, when God split them into nations, he gave each nation an angel. That's its archangel, archangel. But we don't have any angel. We go directly to God. So we're the sons of the king. They're only the sons of the princes. So we're b'nei melachim. We are malchus, because the son of a king is like a king. We're b'nei melachim. That's what it says. All Jews are considered b'nei melachim, because we are the sons of bonayatem. You are my children, right? Boni matem l'Hashem Elokecha. If God's the king, then we're the king's children. So we're kings. We're b'nei melachim. And that's real freedom. Freedom is being totally subjugated to God. That's what it means. We're in charge. We rule. We're not ruled. We're not slaves. We're free. That's what happened at Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah. We became essentially free people because we're God's children, we have that royalty. We rule over ourselves. And therefore, we're Kohanim. A Kohen is God's representative for the world. As the Sfarno says, you are the ones who will teach the entire world of God. That's your... And not by going around and teaching them in seminars or by handing out God's, what's it called, calling card, but by living a Goy Kadosh, by being a holy nation. And a holy nation means, therefore, we are eternal. We have that connection to God eternally. That is the ultimate Olam Haba. That's what we are. It starts with Segula. There's a Segula. It's something that's beyond rationale because Avraham Avinu created that connection. He reached that level, and all his children and progeny are part of that tree. But the other nations never reached that. So it really starts as a skula. It's not something that you can see in every Jew, but it's there. It's a skula. And it can be developed into mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. Okay. That is now, there's an interesting svarno, and I think the Ravenu Avraham ben Arambam says a similar thing, that the difference between the Jewish people and the non-Jewish world is, by us, it's an entire nation of kohanim and malachim and kedusha. Whereas by the nations of the world, they also can be holy, and they also can be dignified, and they also can be, what's it called, kohanim, but it's an individual basis. What does that mean? That means, it doesn't mean that the difference between us is only we have more of them and they have less. What it means is, by us, it's part of our national makeup. There's a Jewish people that come from Avraham Avinu, Klal Yisrael, that as a nation... That's another meaning of Atem Kriyim. In fact, this is the meaning that the Rav Meir Shapiro told the Goyim, right, when they brought this. It says, you say we, it says, Atem Kriyim Adam, you as a conglomerate nation are called Adam. You're all considered Adam. But by Goyim, it's every individual for himself. The Goyim aren't called Adam. They're Ha-Adam. Everybody for himself. They said this at the Bayless blood libel trial, right? They said that, you know, when one Jew does something wrong, the whole world brings all Jews. Because we're all considered one. We're called Adam. We're one thing. Everybody gets blamed for what everybody else does. By you, if a guy does something, they don't say, well, the guy did it. They say this individual did it. Ha-Adam. Everybody's separate. But that concept is also in this aspect. As a nation, we have reached the level of Adam. And each of us is a branch of that tree. By the Goyim, it's not as a national thing. But any individual Goy can reach that level. In fact, he can reach the level of a Jew by becoming a Ger. He can convert. But it's an individual thing. It's not a national thing. It's not in their blood. It's not something that they're born to a tree that's an Am Segula that can develop that. It's an individual, totally individual thing. I think that's why the preface to the giving of the Torah is the Parsha of Yisro. So Yisro heard two things, Milchemes Amalek and Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchemes Amalek. He heard about the splitting of the Red Sea and the war with Amalek. The splitting of the Red Sea was done that the whole world should hear, and that was a tool that God used to maybe the nations would accept the Torah and maybe they'd be able as a nation to also reach this level. But they didn't listen. Didn't make a difference to them. Right? They ignored it. Shamu, the fact the Zohar says, it says, Vayishma Yisro, Yisro heard. The Medrash says that Yisro is the only one who heard. Nobody else heard. The whole world heard. Shamu Amim Yugazim, the whole world heard about Kriyas Yamsu. But Yisro heard and it made an impression on him. And the rest of the world heard and it made no impression on them. They heard, but they didn't listen. Yisro listened. And what is the other thing you heard about Milchemes Amalek? That it's possible for nations not only to want to emulate God and be part of the Jewish people, but to fight against it and to try to prevent the Jewish people from receiving the Torah. So you have a choice. You can hear what God calls out to the nations of the world and says you have an opportunity. You could do it as a nation if you'll accept the Torah. They didn't. You can do it as individuals if you join the Jewish people. Or you can totally do the opposite and fight the Jewish people and try to make them not get the Torah. That's Amalek. And that's why we always find this connection. So what did Yisro do? Yisro came and converted. But it's only as an individual, not as a nation. Even though it could be that if Yisro came before the Torah was given, it's an argument, when Yisro came, after the Torah was given before, when did he convert? If Yisro converted before the Torah was given, then it could be that he did reach. God gave, like, you know, a sale. Anybody who will reach that level now before the Torah is given and accept the Torah, fine. Could be Yisro did accept the Torah, and therefore his children are like a little nation. They're called the Keni. Yisro is always, the children are always referred to as the Keni. They lived amongst Amalek. They had to be separated from Amalek when Shaul killed Amalek. And Bilam saw the Keni. They're treated like a nation. Because it could be that Yisro reached that level of nationhood parallel to the Jewish people. But I was thinking, but not as one of the 70 nations, because he wasn't one of the 70 nations. He was in Moab or whatever. He was a Midianite, right? But Yisro was a Gilgal of Cain. Now, all of Cain's progeny were destroyed in the flood. There was nobody left after that. So Cain was, to most, after the flood, irrelevant. They was all killed out. But it says that by the time of the flood also, the entire world could have reached that level again of Adam. But instead of reaching Adam, they were killed like animals because they descended to the lowest thing. But Yisro was a throwback to Cain. So he wasn't one of the 70 nations after Noah. But he was like what those nations could have reached. By Dor HaMabul, Yisro reached that on his own. So he's not one of the 70 nations that became like the Jewish people. Only the Jewish people are like that. But he's a throwback of Cain, what's it called, a nation to himself who accepted the Torah and before Matan Torah and reached that level of Adam. He also has that level. So on the one hand, he's like a convert to Judaism, but then he's not a Jew. He's like a nation to himself. That's how it seems in Tanakh. And therefore, in order to understand who we are, we had to understand who Yisro was. before the Torah was given, either Yisro could only heed the call of God and be the opposite of Amalek by becoming a Jew, by a Ger, or at least Yisro understood and became what Klal Yisrael, similar to Klal Yisrael, on a parallel, right? But it puts us into perspective. If you want to know who you are what Yisro could have been had he been part of a nation that accepted the Torah or that way back then reached the level of Avraham Avinu, but they didn't. So you are my Am Segula. You are the people reserving the Torah. And to put that into perspective, we need the parish of Yisro. Yisro had to come and join the Jewish people. He couldn't do it on his own. And the antithesis of that is Amalek. Amalek is the people who fight the Jewish people, who want to prevent us from getting the Torah and reaching our potential. Right? Goy can either be with us or against us. Yisro was an advisor to Paro. He was an advisor to Moshe. He gave Moshe advice. He helped to promote the Torah in Klal Yisrael. That's how a Goy can fulfill his purpose, by promoting what we are supposed to be doing, but we're the ones who are doing it. We're the Adam, they're the Ha-Adam. The Nela, let's go back to the first Pasuk. What does the Pasuk say? The Chi Ha-Adam Eitz HaSadeh? Is Ha-Adam like a tree? No. Ha-Adam is not like a tree, because it's upside down. If you're an Ha-Adam, if you're the person grounded in the material world, like the nations of the world, then you're not like a tree, right? And you're not fighting trees, you're fighting people, the Ha-Adam people, who resist and don't want to be part of the Jewish people, who want to fight you. You're coming against Ha-Adam, those Goyim who don't want to accept the seven mitzvahs, who want to fight you and conquer you. Those are the people to cut down, but not trees, because trees produce fruit. Trees are like Adam. They're like, what's it called, fruit-producing trees are connected to their root, just like a tzaddik is connected to the root above. He is like a tree, a tzaddik. So if he produces fruit, then don't cut him down. But if he doesn't produce fruit, in other words, he's not the kind of tzaddik that his roots are up above, but his roots are in the physical world, then cut him down, because then he's more like Ha'adam than the Adam. That's the pasuk. V'chi Ha'adam Eitz HaSadeh. Do you think that Ha'adam, who's representative of the people you're going to fight, who are fighting against the Jewish people, who are resisting to take the seven mitzvahs, they are totally grounded in this world. They're surely not like trees. That means, though, that people who are not grounded in this world, who are Adam, they are like a tree, like we said. So the pasuk intimates that Ha'adam is not like a tree, but Adam is taka, yes, like a tree. Make pretty much sense. Okay. Yeah.
All famous Goyim.
Yeah.
They heard, that's true, but for them it was like they're watching a play on a stage. But we were part of the stage, and it affected us much more than...
Okay. Let me give you two answers. The first answer is that since this was a special sale, okay, in other words, really they had the time to do it at the root base of history, and any one of their root people could have done it, and they didn't do it. So they lost that thing. So God said, well, your root person did it. So I have an individual relationship with you. I'm going to give you the Torah, offer you the Torah, force you to take the Torah, whatever it may be. The Goyim really lost their chance, but I'm going to give them a second chance. The second chance, though, is not going to be... What's it called, is going to be more, right, is going to be what, second chance. Another idea, it says, the Ramban, I think, says that God sent prophets from those nations to exhort them to receive the Torah, whatever, and they ignored it. So well, they were approached individually.
The other one is,
yeah.
Like, when Solomon of King, you say, that's when you have a free
choice. Free choice, right.
But a shadow doesn't really have a free choice. Either that, and the shadow does it. So, is that free choice?
Well, meaning what?
No, when you write back, you said we are...
Right. Shalom Elohim means we have free choice, unlike animals, unlike angels. Right. So, and then, with that free choice, we can choose to subjugate ourselves to God and to emulate Him and be like Him and have the same midos that He has. But that's not a shadow.
I see.
Right. Right. Okay. If you choose to be a shadow, then that's also okay.
Yeah. Okay.